Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and ladies and gentlemen, everyone, excellencies. I'm very, very, very pleased to be here with you today and to welcome to the WTO my counterpart at CITES, Secretary General John Scanlon. It is actually very appropriate that we are holding this launch event at the margins of the CTE meeting. The committee has played a key role in promoting a mutually supportive relationship between CITES and the WTO over the years. So the event, we were just talking about that, John and I, is also very well timed, as we have a number of sustainable development milestones ahead of us, including the summit on the post-2015 development agenda, and that will be at the UN in September, as you all know, and the climate change conference in Paris in December, just before our own ministerial conference. So it was CITES and the WTO working together, making sure that we are successfully cooperating on sustainable development for several decades. And I think that this experience can be of value to these other efforts as well. So this is why Secretary General Scanlon and I thought it was timely to ask our respective teams to take a closer look at the CITES-WTO relationship and how it has grown over the years. And with this in mind, I would like to take an opportunity to talk about the significance of the CITES-WTO relationship, to identify some of the elements that have brought our organizations closer together, and also to sketch some practical ways to advance and deepen our relationship. So, looking a bit at the significance of the CITES-WTO collaboration, this collaboration is best understood in the context of what the founders of the WTO saw very clearly 20 years ago, that the well-being of habitats, societies, and economies are very closely linked. It was the awareness of those links that led our founders to enshrine the principle of sustainable development in our founding document, as you all know, the Marrakesh Agreement. So it also shaped the WTO vision that global trade cooperation is vital to achieve economic, environmental, and development goals. But to realize this vision and to make lasting progress on sustainable development, we must ensure that policies in one area go hand in hand with the policies in the other area. When policy in one area serves positive outcomes in another, then we get a win-win. And the good news is that we have evidence that these win-win outcomes are possible between trade and rural livelihoods and the long-term survival of species. So CITES and WTO have cooperated over the last decades to assist countries in identifying and harnessing these win-win situations. Wildlife can help to provide livelihood opportunities for local communities, including through legal and sustainable trade in these resources. And this, in turn, can provide incentives for investments in nature conservation, law enforcement, and preservation of wildlife. So we have seen numerous cases of these potential synergies. For example, trade in certain ornamental fish from the Brazilian Amazon has provided incentives for proper floodplain management and disincentives also against destructive land use change. So similarly, legal and sustainable trade has successfully replaced illegal trade in crocodile skins for the luxury fashion industry. But of course, any such trade must always be managed very carefully. So that is why efforts by CITES and others to stem unsustainable and illegal trade in wildlife are so important. So the cooperation of CITES and the WTO has strengthened over the years. The positive evolution of this relationship is all the more remarkable because it was not inevitable. And this is important. In fact, there are those who have long predicted that our two systems would be in permanent conflict. But these predictions clearly have not materialized, and I think that there are several elements that explains this situation. So let me briefly mention just four of them. So first, both CITES and the WTO embody the belief that multilateralism and the rule of law are indispensable in tackling challenges that reach beyond national borders. And this is a fundamental shared principle between our two organizations. The second element is our belief in the importance of transparency. As early as in 1976, several GATT contracting parties began to notify their trading partners about measures that they had adopted under CITES. So here at the WTO, we attach great importance to notifications as tools to ensure certainty and predictability in trade relations. But in this specific case, the early notifications of CITES measures at the WTO served the additional purpose of bringing the CITES work into our regular day-to-day work at the WTO. This helped to demystify, I think, the new convention in the eyes of the trade policy community and to build trust on both sides. The third element, so I gave you two, the third that I would like to highlight is the capacity of the multilateral trading system to accommodate environmental considerations, including measures that aim to protect and conserve natural resources. So our rules here in the WTO, they give members broad scope and flexibilities to pursue legitimate environmental and other, of course, public policy goals. And in no way does this affect our task here at the WTO to keep protectionism firmly in check. And during the last two decades, several environment-related measures have been tested against those rules through our dispute settlement system, and some of the measures in question sought to achieve precisely the policy goals which are related to wildlife, including sea turtles, dolphins, and also a landmark WTO dispute, which is U.S. shrimp, even considered the importance of CITES specifically. So this case law has confirmed that members may be permitted to apply trade-restrictive environmental measures. But they also, these measures must also fulfill certain conditions to ensure that the environmental measures are not used as disguised protectionism. So the balance that is implicit in these rulings coming out of our dispute settlement system, they achieve efficient and effective environmental regulations, including for the protection of natural resources. Now, one last element that I would like to highlight, the fourth one, is that one that has helped CITES and the WTO to work coherently with each other is the WTO's institutional framework, in particular the Committee on Trade and Environment, the CTE. The CTE has provided a forum where CITES and the WTO can exchange experiences in an informal setting. In past exchanges have focused not only on the institutional aspects of the WTO-MEA relationship, but also on the trade-related aspects of specific issues covered by CITES and other MEAs. For example, I was very pleased to learn about the active engagement of many delegations in recent CTE discussions on some of the trade aspects of illegal logging. And these discussions, which benefited greatly from input provided by CITES, illustrate quite well the role of the CTE in bringing the trade and the environmental policy communities closer together. And I would encourage you to remain engaged in the vital work of the CTE. And I think that in due course, it will be important for CTE delegates to reflect on how they could take the work of the CTE to the next level so that they can draw the full benefits of this forum. So looking ahead, I think we should seek to build on the successful partnership between CITES and the WTO. The Doha agenda puts a focus on the relationship between the WTO and the MEAs and offers an opportunity to formalize existing WTO-MEA cooperation. Progress in these negotiations, in my view, would help quite a bit to avoid potential conflicts between the WTO and MEA rules, for example, by strengthening national cooperation between government agencies which deal with trade and the environment. They don't always talk to each other. Often they don't like each other. But that's something that we bring about. So WTO members have put a lot of work into trying to move this mandate forward. As I said earlier, in 2015 is a significant year for the environment and sustainable development, but it is also an important year for the WTO because precisely of our 10th ministerial conference coming up in Nairobi, the first time that we are holding a ministerial conference in Africa. And I think it is important that we all do all we can to deliver an outcome there which will support sustainable development. And while we're still working on these negotiations, there are additional avenues for cooperation which are open to us. For example, I was particularly pleased to hear from our CITES colleagues that they view the trade facilitation agreement, which we concluded in 2013, as a useful tool that could support and complement their own efforts in this area. Indeed, trade facilitation can be an important element of a coherent policy framework to foster the synergies between trade, wildlife, conservation, and development. And so this presents, I think, an additional reason to ensure that the agreement's ratification is speedy. So to conclude, I think that there is no doubt that CITES and the WTO play an important role in supporting sustainable development. Over the years, the two organizations have found pragmatic ways to collaborate in order to advance the well-being of economies, habitats, and societies. But sustainable development remains, and I think it will continue to be so for quite some time, a work in progress. There are many untapped win-win possibilities between trade, environment, and development, and we must not stop. In fact, we must deepen and build on the collaboration between our two organizations. So thank you all for listening, and congratulations on the good work that you have been doing throughout. Thank you.